90 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. We're just a few hours from the Iowa Republican caucuses, the first votes in the 2024 presidential primary season. Former South Carolina governor and UN ambassador Nikki Haley speaking to supporters in Pella.
Even though it is freezing outside, literally, we haven't seen anyone that's deterred from showing up at the caucuses.
Haley's polled into second place behind former President Trump in many of the polls. With wind chills well below zero, it is downright frigid across Iowa tonight. But there are millions of Americans, 100 million, on alert for snow, severe weather, bone-chilling cold, and ice. FlightAware says the weather is a main reason behind the more than 2,400 cancellations so far today. Two Palestinians are under arrest in Israel, where one person has died and at least 17 are injured after several cars plowed into a crowd of people near Tel Aviv. This is ABC News.
Eagle 1490.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. The Iowa caucuses are tonight, the first step to the Republican Party convention in Milwaukee this summer. Former U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan says he won't be there if Donald Trump is the nominee. Donald Trump Jr. says that's fine with him.
He's the rhino that the America First movement despises. So if he doesn't show up to the convention in Milwaukee, no one gives a damn.
Trump speaking with WISN-TV's Upfront. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. A former government official in Monroe County is being charged with several crimes, including stealing thousands of taxpayer dollars. 40-year-old Leah Barton received 9 felony charges, including tampering with public records and identity theft. Barton was the Village of Wilton's clerk and treasurer from 2021 until 2023 when she resigned. According to court documents, Barton planned on paying back all of the money she stole but lost track. The village found over $200,000 in charges on unauthorized credit cards. Barton is also accused of deleting computer data to hide her crimes. The emergency day shelter in La Crosse is open today until 7 p.m. at 621 3rd Street North. The shelter is only open during the day, the city said, and is not an overnight shelter. For anyone that needs an overnight shelter, rides to the Catholic Charities Warming Center at 7 o'clock will be provided. The high temperature in La Crosse today is expected to be around 0 degrees. A wind chill advisory is in effect through noon tomorrow. Wind chill values could be in the negative 30s. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Packers with another win in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a huge upset win over the Cowboys, 48-32. It's the sixth time in a row the Packers have won in the Cowboys Stadium, including Super Bowl 45. They led 27-7 at the end of two quarters. Matt LaFleur.
Fortunately, you know, we built a lead that was too big to overcome.
Aaron Jones rushed for 118 yards and scored 3 touchdowns. Jordan Love.
It was huge. You know, I think that was the key for us coming into this game was to run the ball well.
Love threw 3 TDs with a quarterback rating of 157. Romeo Doubs on the Packers young receiver core.
It's amazing, man, how young we are as a group. I just feel like the most important area is just sticking together.
Up next, the Packers face the 49ers in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks with an exciting win, 143-142 in overtime in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard with a game-winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
It was like we had the game and they stole it from us and then, you know, we took it back at the end.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The brutal cold is slapping us this week, prompting wind chill advisories now until noon, where it's feeling as cold as 25 below and high temperatures today feeling more like negative 15. Tonight, another wind chill advisory goes into effect at 6 and lasts through tomorrow afternoon as it could be feeling like near negative 30. Right now, it's 3 degrees.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Providing you with an eagle-eye view of what lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490. Tell a friend.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. I'm going right to the lines. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual. Thank you so much for covering these very, very important topics that people need to hear and understand. This is not politics as usual. You know, you've been following for a long time and working in it. I've been following for a long time. And I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what is wrong with people's heads. Would they want their daughters to be around Donald Trump, your young girls? I mean, this is so sick and alarming to me. I mean, the Republican Party has totally hit the swamp. I mean, it's gross. You know, to think of all the things that they have done, and I'm going to stick up today for women and children significantly, right, too, is because these role models and these leaders that they're picking out are just sick. I mean, I look at Marjorie Taylor Greene bringing porn pics, you know, and somebody talking about somebody's kahunas, you know, Joe Biden's son's kahunas to come to a... I mean, these people are gross. What are parents thinking to keep these people in office? They go after women, but yet they allow guns all over the place where children are getting shot up in schools. Where in the devil is their moral values? Because they use moral values to go after women. And even there's places where women who miscarry now may be criminally charged for treatment of a fetus. Now, give me a break. I mean, you know, it's like perverse. It's like psychotic. And I hope people wake up because, God darn it, we need normalcy. And those people sitting in Congress, they shouldn't even be allowed to step foot at the Capitol. I wouldn't hire them to walk my dog. They're very nutty, and we've gone nuts in our country. We need to get sanity back because it just keeps breeding this type of behaviors and thoughts and even toward the rule of law. I mean, can you imagine a criminal insulting judges like they are? And if that Supreme Court goes with this character, there's something wrong with their heads, and we're all in big trouble because right now he's threatening them. Right now he thinks they owe him. Every person that's been threatened by Donald Trump need to get together and fight back because all they're doing is weakening every protection that we have in our country. Anyway, sorry for the rant today, but boy, that guy is unbelievable, and I can't believe our neighbors in Iowa. Makes me really sad. Thank you very much, Matt. You have a great day. Bye.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much. As always, an excellent call, Gene. Yeah, and I'll build on that a little bit, because here you have a guy, Trump, in the Access Hollywood case, saying he would grab women, walk up to them, strangers. He said, but if you're famous, they let you do it, and he grabs them between the legs. And now he's claiming he didn't grab E. Jean Carroll between the legs. Well, the judge in that case is a tough cookie, and this is a different judge, Kaplan, a federal judge, and he just came down with a ruling. And he said Trump will not be permitted to say in court that he did not rape E. Jean Carroll. That's the ruling. In other words, this is only right now about damages. He said that the record of the previous case, because this is just another defamation case. Trump denied it. The jury came back and said he did sexually abuse her and that it was $5 million. Now he can't say, I didn't sexually abuse her, I didn't rape her. The jury's already found that. This jury's only going to decide money. Just like in front of Engoron, he's already been held to have committed fraud. How much money does he have to pay? Well, he then brings another motion. This just got resolved, where he goes, he wants to put in videos of E. Jean Carroll's interviews, which simply talk about her book. She wrote a book, and but he wants to make it look like, well, you know, she's media hungry. And, well, that has nothing to do with the jury finding that he sexually abused her. And what he did is he went into a dressing room and threw her up against the wall. She's kind of a slim woman, and he's enormous. I mean, the guy's got to be well over 300 pounds. And he throws her up, yanks up her skirt, puts his hand in her pants, and penetrates her with his fingers. And he said he didn't even remember her, doesn't even think he knew her. You know, the guy lies continuously, and this judge isn't putting up with it. He said, you are not going to say you didn't abuse her because the jury found out you did, and you are not going to try to show videos of her giving interviews, trying to sell her book, trying to make a few bucks. That has nothing to do with whether or not you did what you did. And a jury found that you did it. And this is a tough cookie. This judge is not going to get pushed around. But it gets back to the idea of threats. People are afraid of him because they are afraid of the random assassin coming in and going after their families. That's sadly what it is. Well, we're going to talk about redistricting. And the maps were in. They're now in Friday, as required by the court. And I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. You just called. I will get to you. There are seven maps, seven sets of maps. There was a map from Republican legislative leaders, from Evers, Democratic legislators, a UWM professor, the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty, and another map from the plaintiff's lawyers, the law firm that represented the plaintiffs. And the Supreme Court said the maps have to be compact, according to the Constitution, equal in population, according to the Constitution, contiguous, that means you can't have little clumps of voters that don't touch anywhere else, and they'll take into account partisan impact. And this is important, the consensus of the maps, even the ones put in by Democrats, it would still be a 52% Republican legislature. Republicans would still get 52% of the seats. And in the Senate, they would get 17 seats out of 33. In other words, they get over half. But what they wouldn't get in the legislature is 64 to 35 and 22 to 11. That they won't get. See what the court does. I think that the court has been very, very skillful in how they've handled this. Be very, very hard for the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court to overrule them. Go to the lines. Cam of Nina, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cam. What's in your mind today?
I just wanted to add on to what you said about Trump with the new defamation case, how it's kind of a carryover from the previous one because he can't keep his mouth shut. As per right. An article from Newsweek that released today, they talked about what he specifically had, what the judge threw out specifically that Trump had brought forward or his team had brought forward. And it was that CNN interview with heard, like you had mentioned, where it was talking about a book. But what he was specifically wanting out of that is what made me sick enough that I knew that I just had to clarify it on the air for everyone else to hear. She talks in the interview about how some people think that rape is sexy. Some people just think it's like they think of the fantasies. And he has used this before and tries to misconstrue what she says in that interview, which totally, like, it taken out of context. Yeah, of course that can sound bad, right? But that's what he does. He's taking it out of context, trying to make her look like, oh, she enjoyed it. So he's no longer saying, no, I didn't do it. He's saying, well, if I did, then she enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, Cam. And the judges said that's not going to be put in because that isn't what she said. She didn't say she enjoyed it. But let me tell you something else. In the Access Hollywood tapes, he said on many occasions he's gone up and grabbed women between the legs. And he says, well, they let you do it. Well, yeah, some of them are afraid to go forward against a powerful guy, don't have the lawyer fees and all of that kind of thing. It's not that they enjoy it. I mean, have you ever heard of foreplay? I mean, come on, for God's sake, these are strangers, you know. No, this guy is a sick puppy. He's a very sick puppy. There was one case where he was sitting on an airplane and you know, there was the armrest and there's a woman next to him. He reaches over and puts his hand between her legs. You can't say the woman enjoys that. That isn't the case. The other thing is he threw her up against the wall of the changing room and yanked up her skirt and put his hand in her pants. Now, this guy's running for president of the United States. I mean, one of the things I also want to say is, if you are a Republican voter, put aside for a second that he's been taking money from the Russians. Put aside for a second that in the Steele report that he was involved in some very kinky stuff in a Moscow hotel room. Put aside for a minute that his son-in-law got $2 billion from the Saudis and he's defending Saudi Arabia. Put all that aside for a second. I don't, but you can go ahead and put all, you apparently have put it all aside. But nevertheless, you have a president who is, as Gina Beauclair pointed out, I mean, would you want him meeting women in your family? You know, the guy, it's not just, he's not a role model. This guy is a toxic, evil role model. He's a president, you know, he's going to run for president of the United States. So excellent call, Cam. I really appreciate it. Gene, I really appreciate yours. But then Republicans, I saw an interview with a guy named Zach Nunn, from congressman from Iowa. The clown gets on there and he says, well, you know, Trump would be better in foreign policy. Biden isn't standing up to Russia. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Biden is arming Russia, Ukraine to fight Russia. It's the Republicans who won't spend the money. And it's Trump who says that he admires Putin, that Putin's his friend, that Putin was very smart because for $2 in sanctions, he got all that land, Ukraine. Trump will betray the United States, Zach Nunn. Zach Nunn is a moron. I mean, go ahead, look the guy up. Absolutely no business being in the Congress. But they say stuff like this. Republicans say stuff, and we got to stand up to them. We can't permit this kind of disinformation to keep going on. Okay. Coming up, have you ever heard of Sammy the Bull Gravano? Well, you're going to hear about him. He's a strong Trump supporter. Hear about him coming up.
Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Eagle 1490 AM.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hey, everybody. How we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. And it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, have you ever heard of Sammy the Bull Gravano? See, all these people, the mafia, used to have nicknames, and they were proud of them, but they didn't have good legal advice. Little known fact, if you have a nickname, that's admissible in evidence, even though it's just a nickname. So if you have a nickname like Killer, the Bull, the boxer, the enforcer, that kind of thing. The minute a jury hears a nickname, they've made up their minds. Why would a guy be called Sammy the Bull? Or Sammy, in this case, he's also known as Sammy the Rat because he squealed on the Gotti family. Very, very dangerous thing to do. But, you know, they have all these nicknames that make them sound tough or supposed to scare you. Well, let me tell you something. If you get picked up and you get charged in front of a jury, that nickname is admissible in evidence, believe it or not. And the minute a jury hears that your name is the Bull or the Enforcer or the Hitman, you can talk to your blue in the face. Well, say, this guy was a criminal. He killed people. Why do I bring him up? Because Donald Trump just now praised him as someone who had praised Trump. Seriously. He said, look, Sammy the Bull Gravano had said something nice about Trump. When I first heard that, I figured it was Trump just shooting his mouth off. Because Sammy the Bull Gravano had said something nice about Trump, but I figured, all right, Trump just shoots his mouth off. Remember, he also said that he's been indicted more times than Al Capone, as if that, you know, is a badge of honor. Al Capone, who killed a lot of people. But I've read some reviews of that statement, and I have changed my mind. I think it's far more dangerous than it sounds. The consensus of some experts is by saying Sammy the Bull Gravano was a hitman, so you might as well call him Sammy the Hitman Gravano, is that that's a message that Trump is sending covertly to the judges and the prosecutors in the cases against him. When a criminal defendant, and Gina Beauclerc pointed this out too, insults judges and prosecutors the way this guy does and gets away with it so far with just a few gag orders and a $15,000 fine, that kind of thing. When a guy gets away with something like that, and because the judges are rightly don't want to jail a guy who's running for president and generate even more emotional support for him. Tough decision. But when a guy praises a hitman, that is a message to people who this guy has previously said on social media, attacking judges, that they are against him and all this. He's very, very sneaky about the way he speaks. He's very oblique. He gives the impression of being very frank, of just saying crazy things and all that. But though this be madness, yet there's method in it. Remember in Hamlet? Though this be madness, yet there's method in it. These are subliminal, not so subliminal. These are sneaky threats to people. When he says somebody is deranged, when he says somebody is out to get him, that is simply a directive to attack. And he doesn't have to give it explicitly. He knows that if he says something like kill the judge, that's a felony. and he'd be arrested. If you or I said the stuff he says, we'd be arrested too. But the law is sometimes too fine-tooth combed about how they're looking at oblique threats and regular threats. And when both Mitt Romney and Nancy Pelosi, different parties, but respected in different parties, both said there were people that had said to them that they wanted to vote to either impeach or convict Trump, but they're afraid for the safety of their families. And then when you have one congressman who had to send a security guard to middle school with his daughter, to middle school. And when he attacked the FBI and a guy shows up with a gun in Cincinnati, he attacked Tanya Chutkan in Washington, D.C., woman came to kill her. Fortunately, he was arrested in time. And now, it's, you know, that's a, she'll get, if she doesn't get life, she'll get 20, 30, 40 years. They drop like flies. He's a walking crime scene. Everybody around him goes to jail, is indicted, gets fired, goes bankrupt. And this guy, what, walks scot-free? And some of them are still loyal to him. Some of them still call the stations, trying to stick up for him. Study history. When I say at the beginning that you're not woke if you don't know history, I mean that on the right and the left. You have got to study history and study the history of what this guy's doing. The reason I've said in the past that this reminds me of Berlin in the 19, or Germany in the 1930s, you may not remember, but starting in the 20s, after the First World War and the devastating Versailles Agreement and the intense economic pain in Germany and then the Depression, there were gangs, and they were communist gangs. There was briefly a communist government in Munich. There were communist gangs roaming the streets, and there were Nazi gangs roaming the streets. And there's one famous statement that one guy said to the other in Berlin at the time, there are violent Nazi gangs, anti-Semitic gangs roaming the streets. And the other guy said, yes, but not enough of them. And what's happening now, it's not Nazis and it's not communists, but it's far left and far right. And the confrontations, there have been some, but it's largely, who are you for? And so the business community in Germany, so it can't be for the communists. They were pro Lenin and pro Stalin after that. They really were. They were anti-Semitic. Stalin killed a lot of people. So businessmen didn't want that. But what happened with Hitler was he wasn't as well known. They surely figured, well, we can control this guy. He'll take care of these other characters and then we'll get on with it. And he was a worse monster. What's happening now, there's now, I saw it just coming on the air before I came on the air, the speculation about how Trump could use the military this time to suppress democracy. You know, the military academies are very, very pro-constitution. They understand it's a civilian government. They understand that they can't make policy. But if he gets the wrong people in there and starts using them domestically, and they're not supposed to use the military domestically, to stop demonstrations, to seize voting machines, and they do it, then your recourse is the six tarantulas. Do you think the six tarantulas will stand up to Trump? They did to an extent when it came to voting disputes. Do you think Eileen Mercedes Cannon would stand up to him? Do you think the clown federal judge in Texas, Amarillo, Texas, would stand up to him? Very, very important to focus this election the way it needs to be focused. Our democracy is at stake. Work very, very hard for Joe Biden and make very, very clear to everybody you talk to that all these arguments for Trump are pure baloney. Pure baloney. Okay, coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and then we're going to have the strike by Biden staffers in the White House and in the agencies. It's got to stop.
The talk that matters to you and fits your lifestyle.
Tune out all the yelling and screaming.
Come soaring with Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The weather for the next few days will be bitterly cold, with highs in the single digits and potentially dangerous cold wind chills in the mornings. Today will be mostly sunny, windy, and cold, with highs only in the single digits. Cases of COVID, flu, and RSV are rising in Wisconsin at the same time vaccination numbers are down. Boston University's Dr. Monica Wang says health experts need to counter misinformation online.
We as researchers can do a better job about communicating our science, and that means we start communicating our results and our processes in language that's easy and accessible for everyday people to understand.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum says vaccination rates for school children are up, but are still well below pre-pandemic levels. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The emergency day shelter in La Crosse is open today until 7 p.m. at 621 3rd Street North. The shelter is only open during the day, the city said, and is not an overnight shelter. For anyone that needs an overnight shelter, rides to the Catholic Charities Warming Center at 7 o'clock will be provided. The high temperature in La Crosse today is expected to be around 0 degrees. The City of La Crosse will hold public hearings this week to reconsider allowing accessory dwelling units within the city. Accessory dwelling units are smaller, second homes on the property of an existing home. The change in zoning is to help meet increasing demand for affordable housing in the city and to promote responsible land use, according to a release. The public hearings are on Wednesday and Thursday night this week, with the city taking action on January 30th. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office said that social media speculation about a pair of explosions in Stoddard are unfounded. Sheriff Roy Torgerson said there were no reports of any explosions on Saturday evening and that there was no danger to the community. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Packers with another win in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a huge upset win over the Cowboys, 48-32. It's the sixth time in a row the Packers have won in the Cowboys Stadium, including Super Bowl 45. They led 27-7 at the end of two quarters. Matt LaFleur.
Fortunately, you know, we built a lead that was too big to overcome.
Aaron Jones rushed for 118 yards and scored three touchdowns. Jordan Love.
It was huge. You know, I think that was the key for us coming to this game, was to run the ball well.
Love threw three TDs with a quarterback rating of 157. Romeo Doubs on the Packers young receiver core.
It's amazing, man, how young we are as a group. I just feel like the most important area is just sticking together.
Up next, the Packers face the 49ers in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks with an exciting win, 143-142 in overtime in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard with a game-winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
It was like we had the game and they stole it from us, and then, you know, we took it back at the end.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The brutal cold is slapping us this week, prompting wind chill advisories now until noon, where it's feeling as cold as 25 below and high temperatures today feeling more like negative 15. Tonight, another wind chill advisory goes into effect at 6 and lasts through tomorrow afternoon, as it could be feeling like near negative 30. Right now, 4 degrees.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
On air, 1490 AM. Online, lacrosseeagle.com. And on the Civic Media app, this is Eagle 1490.
Scancy Metro.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a kerfluffle going on in Washington. You remember a little while ago, some staffers anonymously objected to the Biden, which is the Democratic Party foreign policy, standing up for Israel. There have been a lot of staffers hired from different backgrounds and different cultures. And they figure that they can take a shot at Biden, and they're mistaken. Well, here's what's happened now. There are staffers from more than two dozen federal agencies are set to strike tomorrow. This includes the Executive Office of the President, the NSA, National Security Agency, Homeland Security, Defense, and the FDA. There, up till now, there have been a series of these anonymous letters from staffers in the White House and the State Department, and some are coming from Biden's reelection campaign. Old-timers that are familiar with politics, and this is true in both parties, would say, shut up and support it or resign. Federal law already makes it a fine or a criminal 1 year in jail for striking like this when you have these kinds of positions. The GOP is trying to make an issue out of this, but Mike Johnson and Comer. Comer's the guy from Kentucky. Now, let me tell you something, and then we're going to go to the lines. I see you. If you have a job in the White House or a political campaign, it can be the president's campaign, it can be a Senate campaign, a congressional campaign, or in one of these agencies, State Department, NSA, and so on, you cannot freelance. You cannot strike. If you want to resign because you don't like our foreign policy, go ahead and do it. And if on the way out you want to write a letter, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. But to stay in the fold and then write anonymous letters and now strike, in my opinion, what Biden should do with every one of them that does this is terminate them. You cannot have the United States divided as it is. It's divided principally because people in the Republican Party won't promote, not just Tuberville, the rest of them won't help, won't promote our military officers, they won't pass a budget, they won't provide money to pay our troops, to run our government. They are an enemy of the United States, not the whole Republican Party, but enough of them that they are throwing sand in the gears. That's true in the Senate and the House. Now, it's also true of the tarantulas in the Supreme Court. Pardon me. However, the Democratic Party has a serious schism. Schism is a split, S-C-H-I-S-M. Very, very serious, from the far left to the, what I would call the mainstream. And the far left, not all of them, but some of them are anti-Semitic. And apparently a number of these staffers have been hired, and they're basically being hired on identity politics, and they do not share any of the values of the mainstream Democratic Party, in my view. So I think that you cannot show that level of disloyalty in freelance and foreign policy when you're put in those positions. You can simply not do it. Going to the lines, Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Joe?
Hey, Matt. Thanks so much for bringing attention to MLK Day by speaking about the Green Book and how the Green Book, basically the book that told African-American people where you might be safe to get a hotel or restaurant as you travel around the United States, and how that Green Book, we had a version of it within Wisconsin. I think that's just fascinating. I didn't know that corner of history, and I really appreciate it. And in that spirit, I just wanted to bring attention to a couple of points on MLK Day to just sort of indicate how that stuff is still fresh and still
needs to be worked on, and the value of a certain the value of certain people who challenge things. And just a couple of points I'll bring out. I was unaware of the fact that the first time the Beatles played in the United States in 1964, they absolutely refused to play any segregated places. They said, no, we just won't do it. And in 1953, Frank Sinatra challenged the segregation that was within Las Vegas and said, Sammy Davis Jr. is going to be opening for me, and if you don't like it, I'm not playing. And by 1960, that was an integrated place. Las Vegas wasn't previously, but in 1960, the mayor of Las Vegas said, we are going to be integrated. And in the same spirit, just coming off of this brilliant, brilliant, wonderful win by the Green Bay Packers over Dallas this weekend, which was such a great and wonderful bit of wonderfulness for us in this state, I wanted to remind people of a quote that Vince Lombardi had. He said, if you're black or white, you're part of the family. We make no issue over a man's color. I just won't tolerate anyone in this organization, coach or player, making it an issue. We respect every man's dignity, black or white. And he backed it up. You know, he, as I've indicated previously, Lombardi in the early 60s told the people who owned restaurants and hotels within Green Bay that if you don't serve my black players, I'm going to tell my white players that you're not to go there either. He basically was saying, I'm going to call for a boycott of your places unless you go ahead and serve African Americans. And I think there's a reason why the ultimate prize in the NFL was called the Vince Lombardi Trophy. And on this day, after this great game yesterday, and as we think about our history and those people who came to the fore to really press for equality, man, he's the guy. And it's one of the reasons that we're proud of Green Bay, or at least I am. I just think it's a really wonderful, beautiful part of the state's history. Thanks a lot, man.
That's a terrific call, Joe, as are all your calls. And I couldn't agree more. I have had season tickets to Packer games since 1988. And I will tell you a little something about Vince Lombardi, too. Vince Lombardi is a graduate of Fordham University in New York. And so he had a much more kind of diverse and eclectic experience than a lot of other people. And he was a football player. He was on the team, and I forget if they called him the Seven Mules or the Seven Blocks of Granite. But he was a lineman, and nobody could score on these people. He was a great football player. But also, my uncle, my dad is a Fordham graduate. He, when he got back from the Marine Corps after the Second World War, he enrolled in Fordham University. I was born there. And his older brother was a classmate of Vince Lombardi. They had other people in that line, Woji Howitt, some of the others. Some of you old-timers out there may remember it, but Vince Lombardi was one of a kind, and he always exemplified the best. And frankly, Wisconsin's exemplified the best. My anecdote about the Green Book was just an historical fact that has to be recognized. I've talked to people, older African-American people, and that was a way of life. Before the mid-60s, you could go, you had to plan a road trip by the Green Book. You might not be served. It wasn't like there was a McDonald's and a Culver's along the way. You might not be served in some places. You couldn't go to a hotel, or you'd be insulted right in front of your family. You can't have that. And I really appreciate your call. Wonderful call. I want to talk now about one other case that's pending that is extremely serious, but that most people are not going to think about. And it's a case at the Raimondo case. It's against the Secretary of Commerce. It's Loper Enterprises versus Raimondo to overrule, and we expect that the Supreme Court, the Six Tarantulas, will overrule the Chevron doctrine. So you may go, come on, Matt. You know, I like listening to your show. It's a little exciting. What's this business about this? Well, let me tell you something. In the mid-80s, there was a Supreme Court case, the Chevron case. And in the Chevron case, the U.S. Supreme Court said that given the administrative agencies we have and the complexity of issues, once Congress authorizes a law, say the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, say environmental laws, that agency can make rules to effectuate that, and those rules are binding as laws. Republicans, ever since then, have tried to attack it, trying to say that No agency can create any administrative regulation that has any effect unless Congress has already passed it or will pass it. But Congress is broken. Congress can't even pass a budget. Congress can't even pass a continuing resolution until the last hour. They can't promote our troops. They can't agree. Marjorie Taylor Greene brings naked pictures of Hunter Biden to a committee hearing, and what? The chairman lets her do it? Nancy Mace describes the genitals of Hunter Biden, and they think that's okay? Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar puts out a video which he kills Ocasio-Cortez and he injures Joe Biden and he's not prosecuted? This is the reality of Congress. When George Washington was president, there were no administrative agencies. There's no EPA. There's no Consumer Protection Agency. Everything was simple. But nowadays, in a complex society like ours, the greatest in the world, the greatest in the history of the world, you have agencies with experts, with PhDs in chemistry, biology, physics, everything you can think of, honing and refining regulations in consultation with industry. And the biggest industries are a big part of it, and they agree to this. What's happening in this Loper Enterprises versus Raimundo is it's a small fishery. And the small fisheries and the smaller outfits don't want any regulations. And so what's happening is that if the Supreme Court overrules the Chevron Doctrine, which is inaugurated in the Chevron case in the 80s, the biggest chemical companies, the biggest everything, want these regulations. They want certainty. Congress isn't going to pass them. We're going to have a Wild West where some states will have environmental laws and consumer protection laws, but a lot of states won't have them. And this particular Supreme Court is about to do that. Wisco Paul, my friend, what's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hi, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Very quickly here, money will corrupt. And the Supreme Court really corrupted politics. I don't know why they call it Citizens United, because it's anything but that. But that's totally corrupted politics. So the shining light is the state of Wisconsin. We have flipped the Supreme Court in this state, and I hope you're right, we get fair maps. But Citizens United, in my estimation, is just put a whole new light on where money can go in politics, and there's no light shed on it. So thanks for taking my call, Matt. Have a great day.
Yeah, it's a lawless case. It overruled 100 years of Supreme Court precedent and congressional action. It overruled the whole thing. Totally overruled it. Okay, Phil of Minneapolis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Phil of Minneapolis?
Well, this whole thing about the Chevron Doctrine is completely mind-blowing to me. As you say, if you don't know history, you don't know what the framework is. Before World War II, chemical companies were making new compounds all the time, but it was relatively few compared to after World War II. World War II caused an explosion in industrialization and also the modernization of processes, all kinds of chemical processes, manufacturing processes. Many of them were dangerous, even more dangerous than what existed before. For instance, the fact that lead was known to be dangerous to people before World War II, but with all the bullets being fired in so many different places around the world, there was all kinds of lead all over the place. We were making lead-pointed ammunition. It was being used in all kinds of sealing processes. And it was discovered that the more lead that got used, and also it was being used in gasoline, which is a whole...
Bill, I love your call. I am going to have to step away for a second. Please call out in the future. I'm going to address your call right after we step away here. Excellent call. Really appreciate it. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about what Phil said, and we're also going to talk about how Mississippi and other states are not taking money to feed poor kids over the summer.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
We all make resolutions this time of year. And let's face it, most of them won't stick. But here's one that's not only easy to keep, but it'll help you feel healthier all year long. Navage. Navage provides quick, drug-free nasal relief by washing saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out of the other nostril. This time of year, when everyone is sick, Navage helps by sucking out germs, bacteria, and viruses trapped in our noses that cause us to feel miserable. And come allergy season, it does the same with dust, pollen, and other allergens. And unlike medications that can take time to help, if they're effective at all, Navage helps treat congestion symptoms in seconds flat, without drugs. This New Year's, resolve to use drug-free Navage to help you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose. Healthy life.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to respond further to Phil of Minneapolis with that excellent call, and then I'm going to go to the lines. Do not hang up. We had to interrupt Phil simply because there's a schedule here, but Phil made an excellent point. He mentioned the chemicals that were developed as a result of World War II. In other words, necessity is the mother of invention. And how do you regulate these things? And what we're saying is, and he was distressed about the overturning of the Chevron doctrine, and I am too, and it hasn't been done yet, but the oral argument is this week. But if you have a modern country like ours, where it's the Wild West on regulation of things like chemicals, let's say consumer protection and a lot of other things, after Congress has already passed legislation to set up an EPA and a Consumer Protection Bureau and say, well, that's fine. They sit there and they're toothless, and any reg that they want, they have to submit to Congress, and it's not law till Congress says yes, and Congress filibusters. Congress will not pass anything, including the money to pay those agencies. That's just wrong. And these six tarantulas, and by the way, Jackson Brown had to recuse herself from one of the cases because she had handled it in the lower court. So it's going to be six tarantulas and two Democrats. This is what's happening in the government. And this is the sneaky, covert part of what the Republican Party is doing. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Mark?
Neil Gorsuch is out for revenge to revenge his mother's honor when she was caught, not doing her job correctly when she was the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, I think back under Ronald Reagan. And Phil brought up, tetraethyl lead that was added to gasoline until they got out of there. When they first discovered it, apparently the workers who were handling the stuff were getting so sick from lead poisoning, they had to give them protective gear to handle the tetraethyl lead they're adding to gasoline. Well, it turns out the tetraethyl lead, which was supposedly helping gasoline engines, actually was damaging those engines and making them not last as long. I mean, and we cannot expect our Congress to know all the rules about all the chemistry and the science behind all the chemicals that are in our environment. Well, because we need subject matter experts to actually do that stuff. And if they think this stuff is so safe, I think that the entire Republican Party should take a big old swig of mercury, lead, maybe a little radium ground in there, the maximum amount of PFAS that they found in the most contaminated well across the country. And that should be their drinking water source. And let's see how long they last without dying of poisoning. I mean, I'm being a little hyperbolic there, but I'm tired of these guys. They don't care about what gets dumped into our environment. They're right. They want to protect babies and the unborn, but they don't want to protect them from the environmental contamination.
Right. Well, and here's what bothers me is the Raimundo case is about a fisheries. The big companies all want the agencies to regulate. They want it. They want certainty. They put in input with their, like DuPont and the rest with their PhDs. And that's what you want. You want people who are trained on this stuff. And once Congress sets up the EPA, you want their experts to make the regs in conjunction with comments from major industry. The problem is the fishery, these little guys don't want any regulation, and the Supreme Court is going to let the tail wag the dog by overruling the Chevron doctrine and say it's the Wild West. And the people who don't like it the most are big business, who want certainty and they want reasonable regulations. Now they're going to have no regulations. They don't want to put lead in water and cyanide and all that, but there are a lot of smaller operators that will. It's really disgusting. And the message in this thing is, if you think that it's all top line stuff, like, oh, they won't promote our military and they won't appropriate money. Yeah, it's that, but it's also going on sneakily under the surface, and be very careful about it. David Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Dave?
Yeah. Hi. You know, with the EPA case last term and the Chevron doctrine case this term, this is just one example of many in which the Supreme Court, which can't be appealed from, has not only ruled in accordance, almost strict accordance, with Republican Party doctrine, but they're grabbing power. They're arrogating power that they do not have in accordance with our system of balance of power, checks and balances. So, and they're taking, you know, they're becoming an oligarchy. If they, well, really, they've already become that. They can't be appealed from, you know, it's 6-3. And, you know, eventually they're going to become like the standing committee of the Chinese Communist Party, that you can't, you know, you can't appeal from the standing committee of the Politburo in China, or the billionaire Ayatollahs, or the Faqih and the billionaire Ayatollahs, or Putin and the oligarchs. You know, ultimately, it just seems that we're going in that direction, and they're eliminating Congress's ability to legislate. They're taking on regulatory power, which is an executive branch power, all to themselves, contrary to the scheme of our entire system of government.
Excellent call. And frankly, you put it graphically, and I couldn't have done better myself. They do not have this power under the Constitution, but they're getting away with it. The Republicans won't impeach them. At some time, a point you're left with, which I don't want to see it get to, what they asked Alexander Hamilton. They said, well, the Supreme Court here, there's no recourse from them. Does that bother you? And he said, well, they don't have an army. But, you know, you don't want to get into that kind of stuff. Okay, real quick, Mississippi just opted out federal program to give poor families in Mississippi $40 a month for 3 months, 120 total, to buy food for kids who depend on lunches during the year. They said, no, it's a, we want to reject attempts to expand the welfare state. 15 of the 50 states do the same thing. Somebody in Nevada said, I don't like welfare. This is $40 a month for 3 months in the summer to buy lunches for poor kids who are used to school lunches. Wisconsin, fortunately, does accept it, but the 15, all states with Republican governors, will not take $120 a kid, and this is a defined group of the, they depend on lunches and they get free lunches so they can eat over the summer. This is as heartless and as stupid and as typical of the Republican Party as anything I've seen. You know, kick the little guy, kick the kids of the little guy, and they'll give him lunch over the summer. Very disgusting. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers as always. Show is about the callers. We learn a lot, and the callers learn from each other. Stand by for another great show. Devil's Advocate, Dominic Crute, Matt Flynn direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Our dial position is off to the right. Our conversation, right in the middle. You're soaring with Eagle 1490, the talk of La Crosse. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ+ veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Eagle 1490, soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.